here.
All right. My name is Allison Murata. I'm a graduate student at the University of Manitoba in Canada. And my presentation is on hexavalent chromium reduction or remediation by redox sorption processes. And this presentation is based on a study I did as an undergraduate project as part of an environmental science degree. And it's now being continued as part of my master's program. So I'll start off with an introduction. Chromium is a naturally occurring trace metal in the environment. It can exist in one of nine, or any of nine oxidation states ranging from -2 to +6. And the most common two forms in the environment are chromium-3 and chromium-6. And these behave very differently. Chromium-6 exists as an anion, and as such, it's highly mobile in the environment. It's also highly toxic due to its ability to pass through membranes, and it is a known carcinogen to humans. On the other hand, chromium-3 exists as a cation and is less mobile due to adsorption on clays and iron and aluminum oxides in the soil. It's also less toxic and has been shown to be necessary for insulin activation in glucose metabolism. And so you can see on the right-hand side, I have a couple of guidelines. And so some guidelines use total chromium, while others actually take into account the differences between the species and have different guidelines for chromium-3 and chromium-6. Chromium in the environment can be bioconcentrated within organisms, although it has not been found to be biomagnified up the food chain. Since chromium is naturally occurring, there are natural sources of chromium in the environment, such as volcanoes, forest fires, as well as the weathering of chromium-containing rock. Although the major cause of chromium contamination in the environment is anthropogenic sources. And that 84 tons per year is the estimated chromium release into the atmosphere in Canada. So major uses of chromium are in industrial activities such as metal production, paint and pigment production, wood treatment, and leather tanning, as well as release from fossil fuel combustion. In the U.S., chromium is the second most common metal contaminant at sites with a signed record of decision. And from a study done in Ontario in Canada, I found that concentrations up to 820 parts per million of chromium have been found in raw sewage. So a typical method of remediating groundwater which is contaminated, which is usually contaminated with chromium-6, the more toxic form, is to pump and treat the groundwater, although this is not the most effective way to do so. And a fairly common alternative strategy is to convert the chromium-6 into the less toxic chromium-3, which is what I'm looking at. So the purpose of my study was to characterize the behavior of chromium-6 after the addition of a reducing agent. I used sodium dithionite and an adsorbent, and I used two different kinds of iron oxides. And I also wanted to look at, does the type of iron oxide affect the adsorption of chromium, and how effective is this treatment as a remediation strategy? So on to my materials and methods. I prepared the iron oxides in the lab using titration. One type of iron oxide I started with ferric chloride and titrated with sodium hydroxide to pH 7, and the other one I did the same thing but starting with ferrous chloride. After the titration, I stored the suspension in a plastic carboy and aged it for 5 weeks. After which I filtered the suspension to remove the iron oxides, and I rinsed them and dried them. Next, I did a reduction study. I started off with 10 millimoles per liter of hexavalent chromium, which is the yellow solution is hexavalent chromium. And I added varying amounts of sodium dithionite ranging from 0 to 15 millimoles per liter, which resulted in this gradation over starting, we have all 100% chromium-6 here, and then it ranges over, the green one is 100% of that is chromium-3. And I measured speciation using the S-diphenyl carbazide method, and UV vis spectroscopy. In that method, the reagent reacts with chromium 6, and you measure the concentration. It forms that the purple-colored compound here. Next, I did a reduction adsorption study. So in this first picture here, this is the reduction. It's the same concentrations used in the reduction study I just talked about. But after that, I added iron oxides here. You can see I added 260 milligrams of each iron oxide to the solution. And I allowed that to react for 24 hours. And it was shaken for that whole 24 hours to make sure that the whole surface area of the iron oxides was in contact with the solution. After that, I filtered to remove the iron oxides from the suspension. And this bottom picture is the recovered filtrate. And so you can see there's still colors, there's still chromium in the solution, although the colors are much less intense, indicating that chromium has been removed from the solution. I also adjusted the pH of the solutions to 5 to try to limit or eliminate chromium formation of oxides and hydroxides and precipitation. So moving on to my results, I had the ferric-derived oxide and the ferrous-derived oxide. There's A and B for the ferrous-derived oxide just because it was prepared in 2 batches. And so you can see there are some differences between the 2 oxides in terms of the amount of sodium hydroxide added in the titration, as well as the pH after 2 weeks of aging, and the moisture content of the dried oxides. And so we believe that these differences between the oxides indicates that there are mineralogical differences, although we don't know for sure what those are yet. In my reduction study, I found that sodium diathionate was very effective in reducing chromium 6 to chromium 3, and you can see on the bottom is the amount of diathionate added, so you can see as more diathionate is added, the amount of chromium 6 in solution decreases and the amount of chromium 3 in solution increases. From the reduction adsorption study, I prepared adsorption curves. These two are for chromium 6 if it's too small for UC. The top graph is for the ferric derived oxide and the bottom is for the ferrous derived oxide. And I use SAS to derive 2 parameters from the curves. S-max is the maximum adsorption of chromium on the oxide, and K indicates the relative strength with which the chromium is held on the oxide. So from these two graphs, you can see that the ferric oxide could hold more chromium 6 and also hold it more tightly than the ferrous oxide could. And if we go to the next two graphs, these are for chromium 3. We see the same pattern with ferric oxide holding more chromium 3 and holding it more tightly than ferrous oxide. And then if you look at these two graphs compared to the ones on the last slide, you can also see that both ferric and ferrous oxide preferentially adsorb chromium 3 over chromium 6, which agrees with prior knowledge. Using the measured total chromium and speciation of the filtrate, which I recovered after the treatment with sodium diathionate and iron oxides, I made these graphs. The blue bar is the amount of chromium 6 remaining in solution after the treatment. The green is the amount of chromium 3 remaining in the solution, and the gray is the amount of chromium that was removed during the treatment. So from these two graphs, you can see on the one on the left is the ferric-derived oxide treatment. You can see that it was more successful in removing a larger amount of chromium from the solution. And you can also see that the concentration of 9 millimoles per liter of diathionate added resulted in the most chromium being removed from the solution. And we believe that is because if we converted some of the chromium to chromium 3 and left some as chromium 6, that allows to be cations and anions in the solution, which opens up positive and negative sites on the iron oxides for adsorption. One thing to note about this is that even if the chromium 6 is adsorbed, it's important to remember that it's not adsorbed as strongly as chromium 3, and there's a risk that chromium 6 can be released back into solution, so it's not a permanent solution. So to sum up my presentation, I found that chromium 6 is effectively reduced by sodium dithionite, and that both chromium 3 and chromium 6 can be adsorbed by both iron oxides. Using the Langmuir adsorption equation, I found the parameters for S max and K and saw that chromium 3 is preferentially adsorbed by both iron oxides, and that the type of iron oxide is important for the adsorption of chromium because the ferric-derived oxide was more able to hold more chromium and hold it more tightly than the ferrous-derived oxide. So knowing this, I can say that reduction adsorption is an effective remediation strategy for groundwater contaminated with hexavalent chromium. The treatment which removed the most chromium from the solution was the one which transformed about 65% of the chromium 6 into chromium 3, although it's important to remember the chromium 6 may not be permanently held on the iron oxides. Also, when I compared my results to a previous study which used clays instead of iron oxides, I found that the iron oxides were more successful in adsorbing chromium from the solution than the different types of clay which were used. And also, one more note is that sodium dithionite did not seem to be an ideal reducing agent because it did not stay reactive in solution after being stored for a while. And also, it's very reactive in the solid form and can ignite with water in the air. So it's not the easiest compound to work with. So future work that I'm doing as part of my master's, I'm repeating the study. I'm also looking at, I want to know what the speciation of chromium adsorbed on the iron oxides is. So I'm going to be doing an X-ray spectroscopy study with the oxides recovered from the treatment. I also want to look at the mineralogical differences between the two iron oxides and determine exactly why the ferric-derived oxide seems to be more appropriate for a remediation strategy than the ferrous-derived oxide. So I just have some acknowledgements, and if anyone has any questions, I can take them. Thank you.
Any questions?
The question is, how much did pH change? In most of them, actually, the pH went down slightly. In a couple of the treatments, I believe the ones with 0 or 3 millimoles per liter of sodium dithionate added, the pH went up slightly. So there is a possibility that some chromium could have precipitated, and we also want to look at that when I'm looking at the speciation of chromium adsorbed on the iron oxides that have been filtered out. We'll also see if any chromium precipitates are in there.
Okay, any other questions? Again, we'll have 10 minutes here after our next talk for more questions. But thank you, that was very good.